Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. A few minutes past five.
Dave, I'm coming to you live from my car on the way home.
You know, there are a certain number of people out there who are like, do that to me, dude. A few minutes past 2 p.m., it's Sue at 2. Sue Thomas from down the hall, 97.1, is here with us. I don't know if you guys know this, but Sue is very fashionable. You really are. You always look put together.
That's very nice.
And she just comes strolling in here wearing Ugg boots as a coat. It's the coziest coat I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, Ugg boots have that fleece on the inside, but it's on the outside of her coat. Yeah. That is a hell of a coat.
Thank you. I love it so much. I got it for Christmas.
It's nice.
Thank you.
Is it reversible?
I don't think so. I thought...
Remember when everything was reversible?
Yes.
I mean, kids.
I lived through that too, Dave, so I thought, I'm just going to turn this inside. And then you can see there are little slip knots. No is the answer.
Can't do it.
Nope. I thought about it.
I think everything I ever owned was reversible.
That's how they made it.
Yeah.
It was great.
And neither side was good.
No. There was always something they had to do to make it reversible that made it just a little off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before, but I lived my junior high years in velour. Like, everything I had was long sleeve, burgundy and gray velour. I looked like an 80-year-old man.
Sounds
like,
itchy.
Oh.
Oh, velour.
When you're starting to get acne on your back and stuff, and you're just sweating all day, and you're already a dirty 13-year-old boy, like, it's just the worst.
Did you go out and buy velour, like, at the... Where were you acquiring this?
No, I didn't care at all. I'm sure Andrew and Wheels can vouch. Like, boys just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And Wheels, you probably didn't care at all because you're in a boys' school.
Yeah.
But probably about 7th, 8th, 9th grade is when I started caring. I just didn't have the skills to do anything about it.
That's fair.
I didn't know. I knew that I was out of it. I just didn't know how to get into it.
Does it look like I ever started paying attention?
Well, that's a really solid point.
Oh, I've seen you with your peg jeans. You were trying there for a while.
Peg jeans.
Yeah, didn't you say?
Oh,
like,
in high school, yeah. That's just because everybody else did.
Yeah, not recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I wore jean shorts until I was like 27. Years passed when I knew that I shouldn't be wearing jean shorts and they were dorky and bad. I was still wearing them because, like you said, Dave, I didn't possess the tools.
Yeah.
I didn't possess the skill set necessary.
Help me to help myself.
Yeah, I didn't possess the skills necessary to help myself.
Yeah.
Not wear like jean shorts with a belt to school. When I was like 16.
My first girlfriend had shirts made for us. The back of mine said Glover. The back of hers said Glover's Lover.
Are you kidding? Did you go to Six Flags and put your hands in their back pockets?
And we had pictures taken. They exist somewhere.
Oh.
I'll try to find them. And I was controlled by a woman. Right? I'm 17, 18 years old, and I'm like, honey, whatever you say, put it on my back, we'll wear it, we'll take pictures.
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do.
You're powerless.
No power.
Wow, she had that made. Wow.
Yeah.
Not that they would be out there randomly.
Sure. It's hard to find those.
These are the perfect shirts for me and Dave.
And they're reversible.
I'm going to buy these.
A friend of mine said that she goes to her ex-husband's holiday events because they have a child in common and that sort of thing. And she said that her ex and his wife are currently showing up to Christmas parties. Their new thing is to have matching Christmas shirts. And everybody in the family is like, ugh. But, you know, okay, you're 62, go for it.
Yeah.
But it's just odd to me because when I think of matching shirts, I think of Six Flags from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
where the couples would wear airbrushed shirts,
bubble letters,
and then they would walk around Six Flags with their
hands
in
each other's pockets.
Yep.
Hottest thing ever.
Was a thing?
It was a thing.
Hell yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Glad
my buddy
and
I used to do it.
Is that what you were trying to do the other day?
You know, it's along those lines.
Walking to Chris's with our hands in each other's pockets.
Glover and Glover's
Lover. No, it was at like Six Flags, man. Watching people walk around their hands in each other's pockets.
Yes.
That's something.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Incredibly difficult.
Mm. Front pockets or back pockets?
Back pockets.
Back pockets.
Oh, I'm just saying. Huh. I'm trying to figure out, like, this is weird.
But you got to have the right length arm to do
that.
Yeah.
Rachel, you better have compatible heights.
And you're standing right up
try
on them,
tonight.
Right?
You and Kurt go for a walk in the snow.
No, thanks.
Give it a shot.
Just do it next time you guys are walking through the
next
mall.
Next time we're in public.
Just see what he does.
And if you didn't have somebody there to put your hand in their back pocket, you thought, oh, man.
Yeah.
They're living
one
the
pocket,
life.
Only as the one night. Pocket yeah. was for your partner. The other pocket was for a giant comb.
Yes. Oh, this is all accurate.
Those man. Big, giant combs.
I do remember the comb era.
Oh, it was a thing.
Yeah.
For a long time, I feel.
Yeah, I think it's grade school. We all had them. The little barber's combs.
Little ace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember the combs you would get on picture day?
Yeah.
They have a basket of
they never did
combs
that.
Yeah,
that
that's
up.
It's what we're talking about. It's
okay.
The same, yeah. Like, and I had one of those things for a while. I'm like, why? It did nothing. It wasn't going to change a damn thing about my hair.
Wait a minute. They gave you a free comb?
Yeah, I guess the photographer service would just have a basket of combs for you to like quickly fix your hair before it was your turn to get your portrait taken.
Did they offer it to everybody, or did they just like...
they're like, Rachel, your hair
might
looks
need
real
one of these today.
No, they gave it to everybody.
That's interesting. I never
I
got a
free
comb.
I just remembered this nervous tic that I had in eighth grade. I would comb like through my hair with a plastic fork.
What?
And I would like just keep it in my pocket so that I could take it. How did I have any friends? Why did no one bring that up to me?
You're like, I'm the Little Mermaid.
Let's drill down on this.
Wait,
no, seriously.
I've had lots of nervous tics.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But that's so specific.
It was very specific, and it was really only for eighth grade. And it's one of those things that I just don't ever think about until
were you
like
ashamed
once every couple
of it?
Years.
Like you were hiding in a corner to
loud
do it?
And proud. I would just like take. I would just like.
You know, I mean, in general though, eighth grade years are usually everybody's a little weird. So.
Yeah,
a little weird.
It's not
but like
your peak.
No one else was doing that, and like I had friends, and no one was ever like, "Hey, everyone's been wondering what's up with the comb thing." Like it might even be worse. It might just mean that like no one was paying even remotely any attention to me.
Andrew, was this in class?
Oh
and
yeah,
you'd bring it from lunch and just. Kind of.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't have like food on it. It would be
well,
like,
no, I didn't.
It's
mean
clean,
that.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
Did
just,
you have
just to
a,
clarify
an array
that.
Of plastic forks?
No. It was just like
one
you know,
fork.
I'd have one fork, and then it would just you know I'd probably carry that around for a few days, switch it out if it broke or
interesting.
It breaks off in his hair.
he's got
that's
little, little prongs.
You know, it would snap off in the hair.
I've had so little hair my whole life. I probably had one year where a comb actually did anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it just fine?
It's very, very fine. Yeah.
But wouldn't it, the comb would at least put it where kind of where you wanted.
I don't know. My gosh, my hair has been such a big deal in my life. Again, in seventh grade, trying to be popular, all the kids had feathered hair.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to do that. And my mom and dad were a little bit older. And my mom, God love her, God rest her soul, really tried to help me out.
Aww.
And I would use tape. Like I would part my hair in the middle and tape it down and sleep that way. Like Patty Duke from the 50s or something.
No, I get it. Was it that pink tape?
Yes, it's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And then every morning, this is part of my stand-up, but every morning... My mom and I would catch each other's eye, and I would go to my room and plug in a curling iron, and she would wait till my dad was putting on his overalls, and she'd come in there and she'd curl my bangs really quick, and one day he caught us.
Oh.
And I was down on my knees, because my mom's tiny, and she was curling my hair. She'd already curled one side, she was curling the other, and my dad's like, what in the hell? And she burned it right into my forehead, and I'm like, And so I had to go to school with one side curled, one side not, but a huge burn on it.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave. Oh, that's horrible. Wait, were you
able
to
beauty.
Were you able to do it again the next day?
No, that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
Tape's like, I'm done with this.
Dad didn't even have to say anything.
So
that was it.
Your dad didn't notice every day that your bangs were straight at breakfast and curled at dinner?
Again.
Oh, trust me. My dad didn't even know my name most of the time. So there was no your bangs look a little askew. No.
Did you use hairspray?
Oh yeah,
have a brand?
Aquanet.
Aquanet. Aw.
Yeah, I would bend over and comb all my hair forward. This is like high school. Aquanet it and then brush it back like a TV preacher or something.
I got you.
Like
I'm following.
Cotton candy.
Yeah. Was it poofy?
Poof. Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice work. Yeah, you did what you the best you could.
I did the best I could.
Yes.
Yeah. So easy now. Oh, thank God.
This is amazing. You get to a certain point, you're like, I just want it to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said, like, when I take a shower, it's like washing a big finger. Like, that's it. Give me a bar of soap and I'm done in 2 minutes. Huh. What was your childhood shampoo? I was a Prel guy.
I feel like we just used Suave.
I think we were Suave. I think we did the Head and Shoulders because that's just what my dad liked. I don't know why he liked it, but that's what he liked.
Pert. I always wanted Pert.
I think I had some Pert. Some Pert, some Prel. Here's what we got. Whatever was on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's probably that. Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good times.
I used to put cologne in my bath water.
What?
I was trying.
Yeah, you were.
I was trying.
I was the definition of not trying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like in grade school, we had a uniform you had to wear, right? You had to wear either the white or that powder blue dress shirt and a tie and, you know, like, well, we could wear corduroys or slacks, I guess you would call them, dress pants. But you had to wear those. So you're like, there's nothing to try. You're wearing those. Our biggest style fashion effort for our class, all of us guys, we had leather ties for a while. That was cool. We were awesome.
Wait, you really had to wear a tie every
day?
Yeah,
I had to wear a tie every day. And then high school, it was not that, but high school was, had to be a collared shirt, had to be tucked in, no jeans. So, you know, Dockers, corduroys, dress pants, whatever. And so you're not really, like, there's no real room for, like,
you're not competing.
Fashion, yeah. Right. And it's all guys in high school, so you're like, who cares, man? Your shirts are stained. You didn't care.
I always wondered about that. Did you then have a wardrobe for the weekend? I mean,
kind of.
Did you? How does that work?
Kind of. I mean, you had a few things. You had your jeans because you could wear those. Well, it was the 80s, right? Late 80s. So it was like, yeah, we all had our parachute pants.
There you go.
And the, you know, those members only jackets and zippers and pockets everywhere.
Boy, do I.
Yeah, we had all those. That was your weekend right there.
I think those are kind of back.
Were they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I'm seeing members only stuff.
Oh, members only. I'm like, man, parachute pants.
Parachute pants.
Go get some.
I still got mine.
Walking down the hall.
They're at my mom's house as we speak.
Down the hallway going, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Welcome back, DGS 222 at 2:30. We're going to talk to Andrew's brother, Eric, who lives in L.A., very close to the fires. We'll get to, you know, on the ground, real person, what it looks like, what's going on. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, would you like to do some fast food news for Razor's Edge?
Yeah, sure.
Today? Yeah.
Okay, we have some exciting news stories. Jersey Mike's, my new favorite. I had never had this up until
about
a couple months ago.
I've never had it.
I haven't either.
It's
very good.
So good. Very quality. Great quality
subs. They use good seasonings on the subs too, right? Like they sprinkle them with seasonings, not
they
just.
They do. And very good bread, which is important. But they're starting off 2025 with the launch of a new limited time slow roasted chicken breast in two new subs. You can get the roasted chicken breast sub and the spicy chicken Italian. The spicy chicken Italian consists of the chicken breast grilled with pepperoni and provolone cheese, topped with hot chopped pepper relish on a sub roll. Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, I could eat that right now.
And then the roasted chicken breast sub is a cold sub that has the chicken breast, of course, served with onions, lettuce, tomatoes, and a red wine vinegar olive oil blend. They're calling it the juice on a sub roll. That sounds like a Dave Lover sub.
Mm-hmm.
Roasted chicken. Mm-hmm. Taco Bell is unveiling new $5, $7, and $9 Luxe Cravings boxes. So there's a Cravings box for, you know, whatever price you want to pay. The $5 Classic Luxe Cravings box includes a beefy five-layer burrito. I know Sue likes those,
oh,
right?
I do.
A crunchy taco, cinnamon twists, and a medium fountain drink. Mm. The $7 box comes with a chicken chalupa supreme, a beefy five-layer burrito, crunchy taco, chips and nacho cheese sauce and a medium fountain drink. And the $9 box features one of the brand's most recent limited time menu items, innovations on a rotating basis. So, you know, if it's, I don't know, nacho fries or something, that's going to be that with the Doritos Locos Tacos, a crunchy taco, cinnamon twists, and a medium fountain drink. I love the Luxe boxes from Taco Bell because they all come with drinks. A lot of times these meals don't come with a fountain drink.
So oh, that's how they get you?
It is.
Question, what is a Mexi Melt? I know they're doing a throwback menu, and I've never had one.
They're the greatest. So
tell me.
It's the mixed cheese,
okay,
right? The cheddar and Monterey Jack. It's the taco meat.
Uh-huh.
In there, and pico de gallo, and it's all inside, and then it's melted. They put it in that little melty thing that they got. You know the thing that's like they do the Mexican pizzas with.
Uh-huh.
They put it in there, and it just melts it all together.
Okay, then I'm getting one of those.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. That was my go-to forever when they had it.
Jack in the Box is introducing a new fajita and Caesar Jack wraps. So the fajita Jack wrap features your choice of grilled or crispy all white meat chicken strips paired with shredded cheddar cheese, shredded lettuce, tomato, caramelized onions, and chipotle ranch, all wrapped in a warm tortilla. You can also get the Caesar Jack wrap. That's the chicken, shredded lettuce, tomato, and Caesar dressing in a warm tortilla.
I don't even recognize the world anymore.
Why do you say that, Dave?
Everything's changing. It's crazy. Getting all these real food items from fast food places. And
I got to say, Jack in the Box is not my favorite fast food place. In fact, a lot of the time, if I end up eating it, I feel awful afterwards. But they have the most variety on their menu. Just different things you can get all the time.
Yeah, they definitely
have that.
Well, that's
true. Good for them. Yeah. Andrew, Jack in the Box, yes, no?
Typically, no. But sometimes, yes. That's, you know.
Every now and then, you need a Jack in the Box taco.
Yeah, you need a Jack in the Box taco, the mini
but
tacos.
But not that often.
An ultimate cheeseburger, four, five, you know, whatever you're in the mood for. But then it's like, I'm good. I'm set now.
That's fair.
Set for a while.
So, Andrew, I'm assuming you haven't been eating much fast food because of your keto situation.
Are you ketoing?
I am ketoing. I haven't had any fast food. I was telling these guys at lunch I might get Whoppers tonight.
No!
And put them on the good bread.
Okay.
Put them on the safe bread.
Sorry, I had a little panic.
The safe bread.
Sue was like,
you've been marketing.
I might have some wedding cake.
Yeah. I know. I told Sue, I might get like a whole entire pizza. I don't know. And,
okay, Andrew, this is great. How do you feel?
Great.
Okay, good.
I mean, I feel terrible, but like I'm enjoying doing
it. No, you don't feel terrible, really.
I just feel I got to figure out what like vitamins you're missing when you don't have carbs, and then
I don't think
get
there
on top
are
of
any
some of those.
I
there
really no
magnesiums.
Think, yeah,
could be magnesium.
I'll bring you some magnesium.
I got some fiber gummies.
That'll help.
Which
that always helps.
They've been like the highlight of my day is taking these little fiber gummy candies. They're delicious.
Make sure
they don't
have carbs in them.
As he's having fiber gummies and he's like, I'll see you in a couple hours.
But I've had basically no sugar at all for like the past 2 weeks, and it's been a bunch of fun.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're doing a great job. And we went to Chris's at the docket today, and we all got a bunch of carbs in our lunch, and Andrew stuck with it. He did a very reasonable keto lunch.
Which was tough because Rachel ordered a burger, and the burger in particular was probably the best-looking cheeseburger I have ever seen in my life.
Really?
It was really,
really
looking, yeah.
Oh, Rachel.
Like, the cheese was melting and, like, falling down the sides.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Friday to you. So Andrew's brother, Eric, who I met a few months ago, super cool guy, lives with his fiance in Los Angeles, and he's kind enough to join us today. Eric, it's good to talk to you. Sorry it's under these circumstances.
Oh, likewise, Dave. It's good to talk to you, too. Let me know if the audio is okay here.
Sounds good perfect.
On your end?
Yeah, it sounds great. So just very open-ended softball question, Eric. Just describe for us, first of all, describe it physically. I've only flown in and out of L.A., so I don't have a good feel for it if it were like St. Louis, like, oh, my gosh, the Central West End, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is it like physically there?
Totally. So Los Angeles is a sprawl, right? It's very unusual as a city because it's this gigantic mass of 10 million people that spreads from the coast, right where the ocean is, inland about another 20 miles. It is a collection of neighborhoods, each neighborhood sort of distinct in and of itself, because, you know, when a city depends on commuting and driving as much as this one does, we don't really have a lot in the way of reliable public transportation. People tend to sort of cluster in their villages, so to speak. My fiance Rake and I, we're in a village called Larchmont Village, which is basically in the middle of the city. It is relatively safe. The reason being that the really big fires right now are to the northwest and the northeast of the city sprawl proper, up in the mountains. You know, when you fly into Los Angeles, you see those gigantic mountain ranges. Those separate the city from the northern suburbs that they call the valley. And in practice, our neighborhood is about 2 miles south of Hollywood, where, you know, the Walk of Fame that you might see on the movies and the Hollywood sign. We started seeing the smoke from those fires to the northwest and the northeast on, let's see, I mean, it's been such a blur at this point. I want to say Tuesday. And we have just basically been watching as the entire city goes from these are too close for comfort to the entire city is now under a fire warning because of, you know, low humidity, strong winds, which, you know, these are called the Santa Ana winds. And of course, the fires that are already going right now. So, you know, neighborhoods that have been considered to be relatively safe, everybody is on high alert right now, regardless of where you are in the city.
So, Eric, is life going on as normal? I know that there are parts of the city that are not directly under threat, but are people just out there going to restaurants and catching buses in parts of the city?
To the extent that they can. Parts of the city are, of course, still under evacuation orders. Today, a lot of the really strict and intense ones are starting to get lifted, which a lot of people see as a bit of a hopeful sign. A lot of my friends had Wednesday and Thursday off of work, everything from corporate offices to restaurants to retail. Decided to keep their doors shut, even movie theaters closed for the last couple of days. And that is basically under an abundance of caution, assuming that anybody who's coming into work is either going to have to try to take a bus or drive themselves through areas that are just not safe. I mean, nobody really knows what the next 4 hours is going to hold. Things escalated so quickly for us on Wednesday when we had to evacuate. So asking folks to go to their jobs right now, although today things are looking a lot better, the last couple of days, asking somebody to clock into an 8-hour shift, you have absolutely no idea where you're, what you're looking at 8 hours later.
Wow. So, you know, in the modern day, we all know anytime something happens, count to three and the blame game starts. We're seeing it on the national news, the mayor, the governor, the president. What is it like locally on the ground when it comes to that as far as the backlash goes?
You know, we are so interested in helping out each other right now that every now and then I'll hear rumblings of what's going on a national level in terms of the discourse, but we're all sort of in survival mode, Dave. We don't really have the opportunity to, let's say, interact with that because we're just interacting with our neighbors right now. I mean, it's been the best of times and worst of times for us in the city because, you know, we do sort of get the sense that we only have each other to lean on right now, although massive credit goes out to the first responders. They've been, to say above and beyond is an understatement of the century. I mean, they have been working 24 hours for basically 5 days straight, and it's extremely heartening. And what progress we do have on the big fires, especially, we have them to thank for. But when it comes to, you know, a community level, we're calling each other to make sure we're safe. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, opening our doors in case somebody's in an evacuation zone, which is what happened to us on Wednesday. And, you know, today when I'm off the phone with y'all, Reka and I are going to head over to Food Not Bombs and drop off some stuff for unhoused dogs and cats, some water bottles. You know, we're looking at right now as the opportunity to really step up and show that this is not just a working class city of people that are dependent on their neighbors and their community, but that when bad things happen, we don't just, you know, jump into a car and split for the hills. We really do try to look out for one another. It's not a reputation the city's known for, and we're definitely getting that in the you know, what we do catch right now of the national discourse. A lot of folks are kind of writing us off as a city of 10 million rich people. I can assure you that just ain't the case. Far from it.
Eric, you mentioned being in survival mode. Take a minute and talk a little bit about what this has been like emotionally for you and for Reka and for all of your friends who are going through this. It's been absolutely gut-wrenching to watch from St. Louis. I just can't imagine what it's like up close and seeing loved ones actually losing their homes.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing to have to just stand still for a minute and think about that, because we have all been on this conveyor belt for the last few days, right, where we're just moving through one incident after another, just trying to keep our wits about us. I will say it's very heartbreaking, especially today, now that the winds are starting to cooperate a little bit. There's some containment on the really problematic fires. We have an opportunity to sit and really reflect on the last 3 days, and grief is the only word that comes to mind. You know, the Pacific Palisades fire, obviously, that's a neighborhood with some reputation. I mean, a lot of, you know, actors have been on TV describing their experience. But we have very close personal friends, a couple of my friends from college who lived in Altadena for the last 10 years working on their home. You know, these are the people that you don't see in front of the camera. These are film industry professionals behind the camera who are doing the grunt work, blue collar work, camera work, editing, the invisible laborers of this massive industry. And that's the neighborhood where those folks were living, because you could get a house for not as much money as within the city itself. So to see my really close friends from college get displaced, and then for them to go back home today to see that, you know, this house that they were basically renovating with their own two hands for the last 10 years is just ash on the floor. It's all you can do to just, you know, shed a tear, reach out to people. And then, you know, this morning, our friend Meredith put together a GoFundMe to try to get these folks a good head start on rebuilding whenever it makes sense to rebuild. That's really all we can do right now. But we're glad we at least have the opportunity to do that. You know.
If you guys are just joining us, we're talking to Andrew's brother, Eric, who lives in L.A., and talking about what it's like on the ground. Race, back to you.
Eric, what's the air quality like? I keep seeing all these horror stories of, you know, people, even if their home is safe, the air quality is so bad that if they have another place to go, they're still evacuating.
That's right. Bad Los Angeles joke out of the way. You know, we were already breathing smog for every single day of the year anyway. So Los Angeles already kind of knows how to deal with air that is barely air. But it is, of course, about 1,000 times worse than it has ever been in the 16 years I've lived here. You know, we've been watching weather apps. We've been watching this extraordinary app called Watch Duty for the last 3 days. That's been very helpful in showing people what the air quality index has been and for their neighborhood. 2 days ago, if you walked outside, it was like you were walking into a campfire, regardless of what part of the city you were in. Completely overcast smoke sky. Yesterday, a lot of the smoke had cleared, but air quality was still really dreadful. Today, you can step outside. If you breathe wearing a mask, you feel a little bit better. But again, it's sort of unprecedented in the last 16 years to walk outside and to actually struggle to breathe. And even as far into the city and inland as we are, we've been feeling that for the last 3 days.
I know this is going to be a little bit of a weird question, and maybe you won't even have the answer to it, Eric, but has it hit you? Like, how big it is, how, I mean, because I know you know it, you're seeing it, you know your friends are dealing with it, and you may be too, but has it hit you yet, like how big it is and how long this is going to take?
Not a weird question. It's a really good one, you know, because we are I think today starting to really reflect on it again, like today we're starting to talk about things like rebuilding because weather conditions seem to finally allow us to stop and think and plan two steps ahead. And the amount of work that's going to go into rebuilding is staggering. I mean, we're certainly talking years, not months when it comes to that. Entire neighborhoods just leveled off the map over the course of one night. But as far as how it's affecting ourselves and our people, we're definitely reflecting on how we can be a part of that moving forward. Because again, we're really just trying to reach out to people right now. I mean, I haven't gotten this many texts in one day since Reka and I got engaged. It's been absolutely crazy to have people from all over the world reaching out. And even when you are in survival mode, you know, if you get a text from anyone that just says, hey, we're thinking of you, it's fuel in the tank. You know, it just helps you get another five steps forward. And that being able to reflect on the generosity and the grace of people that have been reaching out, thinking of us, and now people who are contributing to fundraising efforts, opportunities to either put together supplies for displaced people, for unhoused communities. Now we're reflecting on the damage, but we're also reflecting on the love that people are showing up with and what we can do with that love.
Well, we're thinking about you back here in St. Louis and Alton, Illinois, and we really appreciate your time. We love you. We're pulling for you, and best of luck over the weekend and in the next few days.
Thank you much, and much love to DGS as well. Appreciate you all.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have the whole crew here now. We have Sue. We have Michael Kelly. He's going to hang with us through the 3 p.m. hour. And you were talking about how emotional I was about giving up my old Jeep, and I said thank you, and I touched it, and I cried, and, right. And you said that you had that with your loft downtown,
yeah,
and that you almost died there once.
Well, so many cool things happened in that loft, but one of the craziest things, and I think I've talked about it before, but I met a person in my building, a young lady, literally in the morning one day in the elevator. Hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Great. We're going to have people up tomorrow at my house. Come on up. She comes over. Etc. Knew the lady then, you know, for several months, and I guess she must have had trouble in her relationship. Her boyfriend assumed that she was at my house. She wasn't at my house. I'm in the shower, and it sounds like a helicopter hit the side of the building. I come out, and there's a guy standing there with a fire extinguisher in my house. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, you're with my girlfriend. I was like, I don't know who your girlfriend is. I'm not with any girl, and your problem's not with me. Get out of here.
He got into the unit?
He took this fire extinguisher and bashed the door in.
Oh my God.
None of this was, I mean, he was arrested. It was crazy. It was the craziest thing. Now, this was 15, 20 years ago. I was crazy. I'm much more normal now, but yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like when you were talking about that, I mean, you know how you watch the last episode of Cheers and Sam looks back and everything happens? It really did happen.
Did he believe you? Like, what happened then?
Well, then I think he realized, oh, my goodness, what did I do? He ran out. I called the cops. The cops show up later, and he comes back to say, yeah, listen, I'm messed up. Oh, this was me. Yeah.
Dang.
Totally. It was crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah, man,
how do you explain
nuts.
That to your parents? Like, you can't. Well, you know.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
I'll teach you to invite girls upstairs.
Yeah, but it was like the first couple of years that I lived downtown. Man, there was a real cool vibe in downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
Did you run into her again, and what did she say?
I think she's out in these California wildfires now. Obviously, it was a relationship that she had issues in, and that was definitely a signal for me. Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
One time when I lived in the West End, I came home during the day when I was in law school, and I opened the door, and you walk in the apartment, and you look to your left, you can see into the kitchen, and there was a guy crawling through my kitchen window.
Oh, my God.
Man. And you always wonder what you would do, and we both did the same thing. We pointed at each other, and we went, hey! I did it to him. He did it to me. he jumped down and took off running, and I started throwing karate chops like Barney Fife, you know? It's crazy. Just nuts, because you know, like, it's the kind of thing you worry about, but you're like, it's never going to happen.
Right.
And then suddenly there's a guy crawling in your window.
Right. And I can look back at it now and tell the story, but I mean, truly, I was 100%, I have no issue here. I caused none of this.
Right.
And so this man was crazy. So I'm like, my biggest concern was once he was arrested and stuff, like, I don't want this guy back. I've never met him before. I only know her barely. And this is going on with me?
Yeah.
No. Uh-uh. And so that, but now looking back at it, it's a great story.
It's a great story.
Right? Yeah, it's good content, right?
Right. Dang.
Good content. Yeah, that's what, when Phoebe was about 6 or 7, we were taking a walk. And I said, because I'm Mr. Existential, even with 7-year-olds, I'm like, what do you think would make a good life? You know, what's a good life? And she thought about it, and she goes, I think one like yours. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you have crazy stories. I think that when I'm your age, I want crazy stories because it means you lived. And she's 7 years old, and I'm like, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Some of my crazy stories I wish I didn't have, but...
But that has to be encouraging as a parent. Now, I'm not one, so I don't know what this is like, but to know that you have a child that's going to go spread the wings. Because let's be honest, right? The coolest things in your life have happened when you probably were just a little on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she one time on a walk like that, I've said this before, but I think it's the sweetest thing. I said, what do you think it is Dad does for a living? And she thought about it and she goes, well, you do a radio show and you play in a band, so I guess I would say you make people laugh and you make people dance.
That's so sweet.
Isn't it?
Good grief.
I'm like, put it on the tombstone. I'll take that.
Yeah.
And I literally would. Like, you know the whole thing, like in 100 years, no one even knows you were there.
Right.
If in 100 years there's some sort of a little entry somewhere that said, oh, Dave Glover lived from 1964 to whatever and made people laugh and played in a band. That's it. I don't need anything more. I don't need anything more than that. That's cool. That's a good life.
Absolutely. And here you are on one of the most famous radio stations in the world. They're going to write history books about it. Make sure that that's what they say.
There you go.
So what was the Glover show like? Well, he made people laugh and dance.
There you go.
Are your listeners really dancing right now in their cars, you think?
A couple of them.
Yeah. No, he just makes us dance during the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's like, electric.
Dance! It's electric.
Pulls out a little pistola.
Were you a dancer when you go to the clubs in Miami?
Yeah.
Show us what you
do. I don't got any moves anymore, man. That stuff's all broken now.
Were you a freestyler?
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. I'm just trying to imitate what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
And then not run into people.
Sue, dancer?
Oh, not really. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we were, 90s club scene. Vanilla Ice. Rico Suave.
Oh, that's right. You were wearing the pants.
But yeah, we had the hammer pants.
Hammer pants.
Hammer pants and, you know, like sometimes tank tops. No.
Damn.
Hammer pants.
No. Hammer pants. Wow. And
no,
tank
I didn't.
Tops.
I never did tank tops once.
Yeah,
I never did tank top once.
Sue
it's, not good, it's not a good look when you're like pure white. Like, I mean, I'm a glow in the dark.
Yeah,
kind of ruins the dark mood of the club when this guy comes in and all of a sudden it's like the moon out when you're in the middle of the night.
Yeah, suddenly it's all Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah, right. All the guys in the corner doing drugs are like, "Hey,
who invited Casper?
Put your shirt on."
That is awesome. Mike, what was your dumbest look of all time?
Do you remember when we had the bass shoes that you did the little curly shoes with the things?
Yes.
And then you took your pants, which I think at that time were Dockers or something else that had like plaid under it, and then you would tight roll them?
Yeah.
Peg.
Yeah, and that was probably my dumbest look.
But I bet you embraced
except
it.
When my sisters would dress me up as like a girl.
Sure, of course.
But it was kind of attractive,
what are you
to be honest
do?
With you.
I bet you were. Yeah. It's like when Bugs Bunny dressed up like a girl.
Yeah.
You're like, that's not bad.
That's all right.
You can do that.
But I have the I can visualize him in Cavaricci pants and a white beater.
Oh, yeah. I've got it right
here. Yeah, I never did the tank top. But, probably. You know what I probably had? I probably had like rock concert t-shirts.
Okay.
I had a favorite one that had a little like glow in the dark lettering that said really bad words, so it's kind of funny.
Nice.
People laugh. Yeah.
You need to stop talking.